Backseat Box Office, episode number 8 for the weekend of November 12th through the 14th, 2010.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
I have a question for you real quick.
Yes?
Are you by any chance a witch?
I think we determined that the appropriate term would be warlock. Males are warlocks.
Well, then let me rephrase my question. Tony, would you by any chance have to be a warlock?
I'm a pimp.
Tony, do you weigh less than a duck?
See, that's not actually answering my question. You could be a pimp and a warlock. They're not mutually exclusive.
Fair.
In fact, one, you know, improves the efficacy of the other.
That's true.
Very true.
And it would have to be a really damn big duck if I'm going to weigh less than it. Maybe like one of those, duck cars you see at Lake of the Ozarks where they go out into the water. That is the only duck that I weigh less than. I'm sad to say.
The reason I asked. You know, in last week's episode, you had just off the cuff thrown out. We were discussing due date, how well it's going to do, what the box office is going to be.
Yes.
And just out of the blue, you pulled out that you thought it was going to, you know, bring in roughly, you'd have to take Iron Man 2, add that to The Hangover, you know, add their opening weekend box office together and divide it by Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
True. I said that.
Being the huge, you know, nerd I am, I went ahead and added those numbers up.
Which alone that impressed me. It was that you went through that. I told Julie, Andrew did this because I got the email and I read it to her and she's like, you guys are so weird.
Guilty. So, you know, Iron Man 2 brought in about $128.1 million. Hangover brought in $44.9 million its opening weekend. Mm-hmm. You add those together, divide by Planes, Trains, Automobiles, $7 million. And you come out with $24.7 million, which is roughly $8 million off what due date actually brought in, because it brought in $32.6
million. Right.
So, you know, eight's close. It's not exactly on, but it's close enough that I thought that was a little weird.
Right, that's a little odd.
And then I thought about it a little bit more.
And there was a factor that I did not mention.
Right. I'm sitting there, I'm shaving, I'm thinking about this because I get bored easily. And I'm like, you know, Jamie Foxx is in that movie. You didn't account for the Jamie Foxx factor. What was the last movie Jamie Foxx was in?
Right.
Valentine's Day, March 2010, right?
Okay.
So I went out, grabbed its opening weekend box office of 56.2, added that into the equation with Iron Man 2, The Hangover, divided by Planes, Trains, Automobiles. Comes up to be $32.7 million. About $100,000 off of due date's actual $32.6 million.
That's pretty freaking crazy, isn't it?
That's bizarre. That
is bizarre and awesome. It really is. It's awesome.
So, I think we should pick a movie this weekend and try this again. I want you to pull just movies out of your air. Now just out of anywhere. Give me an equation. I think we should test this.
All right. So this week we've got Unstoppable. I'm looking at the IMDb page right now. So let's go ahead and call it Training Day plus Star Trek plus Clerks 2, Rosario Dawson. She's the hook. Divided by Speed 2. Not Speed, Speed 2.
All right, I'm putting it down in the book.
Because Speed... It's got to be Speed 2.
Because Speed was actually successful, you know, and that would divide it too much.
You know what? Speed is not right. Under Siege 2, because it's a train. Under Siege 2.
Wait, how does that have to do anything with a boat?
Unstoppable is not about a boat.
No, but Speed 2 was about a boat.
I know. That's why it's wrong. That's why it's the wrong choice. It's got to be Under Siege 2. So,
Under Siege 2. All right.
Under Siege 2, yes.
Okay.
Because that's about a train.
There you go.
All right. So, again, the equation on this one, Training Day plus, you know what? Training Day is a little too old.
It's not that old, is it?
It's yeah.
Training Day is probably getting up there. They're newer.
Yeah. Movies. One we just did. The Book of Eli. Book of Eli plus Star Trek plus Clerks 2 divided by Under Siege 2.
All right.
Book it.
All right. We'll meet back next week and we'll see if you actually are in some way a witch. I tell you, if this comes in close, I may be getting together an angry mob with pitchforks and torches and heading to St. Louis.
That's reasonable. Come, hey,
just to be safe,
this conclusion.
Come on Skanksgiving. You can join us for the Scott Pilgrim podcast, Backseat Producers.
I bought Scott Pilgrim yesterday.
I haven't seen it yet. Adam's going to lend it to me. Adam's going to lend it to me this weekend. I'm going to steal it from his house.
I wanted to watch it in preparation for this. It doesn't look like it's not going to be on Netflix for at least until December. It doesn't look like it's going to be in Redbox anytime soon. I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it in time because I don't even have any friends that went to go see it or care about it. So I'm not even sure I can borrow it from somebody, and I sure as hell am not going to buy it. So I know that makes – I know somewhere Chibi is crying, but, you know.
And Adam.
I think I'm starting to tear up a little bit.
So we're here to talk about how we did last week.
I would like to just step in right here and point out
that
my powers of prognostication are as strong as ever because I was 100% right about being 100% wrong.
That's fair. you're
not blaming Tony and I this time.
There are two first conditions that have yet to be met until this week. One of the first conditions have been met now. The two conditions are someone scores 100%, then someone scores a 0%. It was not scoring 100%. That did not happen this week.
Could anybody have called that Red was going to continue to do so well?
Oh my God. Looking at Friday's box office, if you looked at just Friday's box office, I had 100%.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let me run down real quick our top five from this past weekend. You know, Tony called number one perfectly with Megamind breaking out number one with 46 million. At number two, we had Due Date with 32 million. At number three, showing that Oprah maybe doesn't have quite as much appeal in films as I thought she did, For Colored Girls with 19 million. At number four, Red, only dropping off 19% from the previous week
at
8.6
nuts.
Million.
Just ridiculous.
And at number five, we had Saw 3D, proving Jonathan wrong at 7.7.
I knew that was a terrible choice as soon as I made it, but...
You said it. You were like, oh, I'm going to regret this.
Oh, yeah. And I did. Of course, in my defense, as far as the numbers go, even those of you who put Saw 3D on your list, which is both of you, were wrong with the position, so you don't get any points for picking.
No, that's fine, and that's fair. I did say that Saw 3D would be... I said Saw 3D would be number four, and Red would be number five. The fact is the percentage changes of Red and Saw 3D were shocking.
That is insane how well it's doing.
It only dropped 19.4% from last week, which in its third or fourth week, that is not much of a drop. Normally when you get to the third and fourth weeks of movies, they're dropping fast.
Well, you know, I'm glad because I thought Red was a great movie. It kind of had a soft opening, so I'm really kind of glad it's held on. It's only dropped, you know, 20-25% a week, and
I'm glad
it ended up making quite.
I'm glad it's doing this well because I may actually get a chance to see it in theaters. I'm going to be selfish about
it
here.
My opportunity.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance yet. And then Saw 3D dropped almost 66%. It went from first to fifth. It's just
that's ridiculous.
Crazy.
So we heard that Jonathan pulled in a big goose egg this week. Tony, how'd you end up doing?
I got 60%. I got the top three. If we were just looking at the top three, 100%. But we're looking at top five, so 60%. I had the position of Red and Saw 3D wrong. I called both of them being in the top five. but I had the position wrong because I just didn't expect Red to outperform Saw 3D, and it's, you know, and Saw 3D is only in its second week, and it dropped that much. That was, I I should have listened because I think it was you that said, you Andrew that said that it's past Halloween, so it's going to drop farther. I think you.
No, I think that was Jonathan. Actually.
It might have been okay. That's fair. Yeah, one of you said it. I only half pay attention.
I was banking on Saw 3D like losing more theaters than it did. So
right.
Because of
because you had called it not even being in the top five.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because I figured Paranormal Activity 2, I figured they'd both be close, and I mean realistically they're only 700,000 apart, which isn't too terribly much considering. But
no, and really. Looking at Friday's numbers, everything was really close in groupings. I mean, it was in clumps, but things were close. Like the top three were really close, and then the bottom three, four through six, were really close. There was only 300,000 that separated the bottom three. Just looking at Friday's numbers,
yeah,
it was close. It could have gone any way, but it didn't. I won. Andrew, how did you do?
Well, you know, the one movie I went to go see this weekend, Due Date, was the only one I guessed right at number two. Everything else, I did horribly on. You know, I had Red dropping out of the top five. It didn't.
Nope.
I had Saw 3D and Paranormal Activity being in the top five. They weren't.
Well, Saw 3D was.
But not where I put it.
Not where you put it, no.
Not where I put it. I think I had it at number four. I had Paranormal Activity at number five.
Yes, you did. So let me ask you, you saw Due Date. What'd you think? Just a quick review.
Sure. I was very excited about it. I'd enjoy the trailers, went in. Wasn't as good as I was expecting. You know, I would compare it to The Hangover. The Hangover from start to finish was hitting on all cylinders. The entire movie, drop dead funny from start all the way through the credits. Due Date, not that good. But, you know, it was still funny about 60% of the time. 40% the jokes were kind of falling flat. They weren't quite connecting, but I enjoyed it. I thought there were some great scenes in it. Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis together were fairly entertaining for most of it. Robert Downey Jr. just comes off as a gigantic dick through most of the movie, so...
He plays that part well.
It was good. Yeah, he plays that part well. You know, if you have time, I wouldn't put the top of your list. Go see Red first, but if you have some time, you want to see a funny movie, I'd go see Due Date.
All right. Yeah, and I saw
the horrible reviews it got on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
That's movie reviewers. Those guys are all jackasses.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Tony, I think you saw a movie this weekend too.
I did. We saw Megamind. Took the family to see Megamind. And
what'd you think?
Well, first, just going to the movie. We made the mistake of going to a 5:10 show because that is apparently after 5 o'clock is when they go from the matinee pricing to the it's night and we're going to gouge you pricing.
So you got gouged?
Oh my God. For the four of us, it cost $37 just to walk into the theater. And we didn't see the 3D version. This was just the standard version for the four of us to go see it. Then we got, you know, we decided, hey, we're not going to go to dinner. We're just going to have popcorn and hot dogs at the theater. Yeah, that whole proposition ended up costing us. Let's put it this way. We could have went to Walmart, bought a brand new Blu-ray, full price, no discounts. Then gone to the food department, bought steaks, and we would have spent less money. Yeah, it was ridiculous. it was not... The pricing, it's out of control.
Yeah, the last that time aside, I went to a movie theater, it was like $8-$9 for a thing of popcorn.
Yeah.
And there was like 25 cents difference between the top, the large, and the small. It was like, I'm not paying $8 for, whoa.
Yeah. Well, hell, I might as well. Why didn't you just give me the popcorn trough for 50 cents more? And just bring out the buckets of soda. Give me an extra cup because I'm going to need to take a leak. And I'm paying this much for a movie.
Popcorn
I'm
not machine on my left, and I want the soda machine on my right in the theater.
In a catheter.
Exactly. Now that said, because I mean, really, that's a minor quibble. We know how much movies are going to them. Yeah. It was one of those things that there was a little bit of sticker shock because it was like, whoa. I'm used to going to movies alone when everybody's asleep. Yeah. We saw Megamind. It pretty much what I expected. It was a lot of fun. Will Ferrell did a great job as Megamind. They did some clever things with the story. They took it in some ways that I did not expect. There are things that are a little bit surprising. One of the funniest things that's kind of anecdotal, because it wasn't exactly about the movie, but so we're watching the movie, and my little one, Aaron, 3 years old, is all about Disney princesses. That's her thing. I mean, everything is Disney princesses. She is a princess. You ask her, she is a princess. Her name's not Aaron, it's Aaronrella. So we're watching the movie, and at one point, the main female character, who is played by Tina Fey, her name is Roxy something, but it's Roxy. The last name starts with an R. The characters in this in the movie are lifted, just flat out lifted out of Superman, just without pretense. I mean, it's just Metro Man, that's Superman. Roxy, whatever her last name is, that's Lois Lane. Her cameraman, that's Jimmy Olsen. They make no bones. I mean, he's even got red hair and freckles. You know, they make no bones about the fact that the main characters are just flat out lifted out of Superman. They don't even try to hide it. At one point, she gets captured and tied to a building, that like the highest peak of a building. So Aaron turns around to Julie and says, "Hey, mommy, she needs a boyfriend to rescue her." It's like, I don't think that's what you should have taken from this.
And I'm sure Julie was thrilled by that.
And she actually thought it was hilarious. Because then I guess at that point, Aaron was like, she needs somebody to rescue her. I thought it was hilarious. I know there are women in the geek community that would have just been appalled.
I'm thinking from the college student perspective. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's a Disney fail.
I'm not sure that's allowed to even come from a 3-year-old on campus.
Yeah.
So non-PC.
She needs her boyfriend to save her. Oh, wow.
So it was good.
Yeah, it was good. I had a good time with it. Fun movie. Worth seeing. We did not see it in 3D. There was a couple of parts where you could see where the obvious 3D gag was. You know, the thing flying at the screen kind of thing. They did a lot of cool tropes with being an evil villain. And if I'm going to make comparisons to what this movie's like, for comic book folks, a lot of Superman. I mean, there's a lot of Superman tropes and references in it. Megamind, while being an alien and being blue, is very much a Lex Luthor. You know, he's all about the brains and the evil schemes. But there was a point in there where it kind of takes on, and this is kind of maybe an obscure reference for some people, but there was a Marvel graphic novel called Emperor Doom. And it takes on a real vibe that I got from reading Emperor Doom back in the day. And the story in Emperor Doom is Doom, Dr. Doom, he's a villain. He schemes to take over the world. One day, all of his schemes work and he takes over the world. Now, all of a sudden, he is emperor of the world. And like, he solves hunger problems. He cures diseases. He's like doing all this good stuff because I've taken over the world. I've got power. I'm going to use my power for my own purposes. And it's like, well, I have these subjects and I need to keep them alive, so I need to do things for them. Well, and then he gets to a point where he's like, this is really boring. this is old. I'm kind of done with this whole ruler of the world thing because I'm not having as much fun as I had before. And it's not, that's not exactly how the story goes, but it's got a very, I mean, that's kind of a simplification of it. And that kind of happens in the Megamind story. He's the foil for Metro Man one day. And it's one of those things that it's even shocking to him when it happens. He beats Mega Man. And it's like, wait a minute. I won this. What? This isn't happening. Everyone's shocked. And he's as shocked as everyone else. And he gets to the point where he's like, yeah, I rule the town. And then he gets to a point where it's like, man, this is boring. I'm used to fighting people and doing cool stuff. And this is not fun anymore.
And now I'm negotiating contracts with the Teamsters.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back and talk to him anymore.
Yeah. So no, it's worth seeing. It's definitely worth seeing. It's a good flick, especially if you have kids.
So now that we've gone over how well or poorly we did last week, let's let's look at what's coming up this coming week with three new releases again. Very different.
Yes, they are.
We've got Skyline, we've got Unstoppable, and then we've got
Morning Glory. All right, so go through what the movies are about. Start with Skyline. After a late night party, a group of friends are awoken in the dead of night by an eerie light beaming through the window. Like moths to a flame, the light source is drawing people outside before they suddenly vanish into the air. They soon discover an otherworldly force is swallowing the entire human population off the face of the earth. Now our band of survivors must fight for their lives as the world unravels around them. I'm sorry, I got into reading that and just had to do that. I don't know what possessed me. It had to happen. It had to be read that way. Right now there are two critical reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Both of them are rotten.
This is a movie that's like, I don't know where this movie came from. I'm not one to be like super tuned into the sci-fi scene and that kind of thing, but I listen to Slice of Sci-Fi. I listen to various other shows. I keep up in general. You know, I listen to Backseat Producers. I keep up on all of this stuff. And just like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I started seeing this massive media push for this movie. And I'm like, I have never heard of this before. I've never seen trailers.
Oh, this is good.
I don't go to a lot of movies, but they're just, where the hell did this movie come from? And even like the Slice of Sci-Fi guys are like, we've never heard of this movie before. And that was only like 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that really doesn't sit well with me.
So like on Rotten Tomatoes, they give like snippet reviews of the critical reviews that are basically their crib notes of what the whole review's about. The two that are out there are kind of hilarious. It certainly feels that the screenplay, full of cringingly cheesy dialogue and utterly reliant on the most rote genre machinations, was never anything other than a frustrating annoyance for the Strauss siblings, who are the directors. That was the first one. The second one, compared with the recent spate of sci-fi films such as District 9, Star Trek, and most of Roland Emmerich's disaster films, Skyline struggles to live up to its own expectations, bereft as it is of any humor or soul.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Ouch. That's rough, buddy.
That does not bode well.
No.
For that movie.
No, it
and
does not.
And I'm looking not. At the cast, and I don't think I hardly recognize any of the people on this cast list.
I know Eric Balfour and Donald Faison. That's it. And wow. and those guys are like secondary characters on TV shows. That's how I know them.
am I supposed to know who the Strauss brothers are? I mean, that's not ringing a bell for me. I mean, they're the directors of this movie, but I don't think I couldn't name anything else they've ever done.
They did Alien vs. Predator Requiem?
I have not seen that.
Moving on.
Yeah, we should move on now.
Let's please.
Let's talk about the movie I'm excited about.
Morning Glory?
Denzel Washington's. Oh. No, actually, surprisingly, no. Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. Unstoppable, a 20th Century Fox drama about a runaway train carrying a cargo of toxic chemicals, pits an engineer and his conductor in a race against time. They're chasing the runaway train in a separate locomotive and need to bring it under control before it derails on a curve and causes a toxic spill that will decimate a town. I'll tell you, this synopsis is nowhere near as good as the last one. I'm just saying. That last synopsis... That last synopsis... Fantastic. This synopsis sucks.
You know, as silly as... The plot line just sounds ridiculous. But I think it's going to be a good movie. I saw the trailer in front of due date, and I looked actually very good.
It looks like it's going to be high suspense.
You know, it's a runaway train.
A lot of close up on people's faces looking worried. There are a total of 17 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes right now. 15 of them are fresh, 2 rotten. So 88% positive. Let's see. 84% of the audience wants to see it. And it looks like about 12.8 thousand out of about 15,000. 84%. Sounds like people want to see it. I just kind of scanned down through the reviews of this, and there are two of them right now that are rated as poor reviews. I don't know if this is a bad review or not, because it really doesn't tell me anything. It's like a mashup of classic commercials of Ford pickup trucks.
What? What does that mean?
That's what it says. I kid you not. Could it... Go, all right.
Is the train just constantly going by Ford pickup dealer
this
lots?
This is homework for the audience. If you have the internet anywhere nearby, go look up Rotten Tomatoes. Go look up Unstoppable. Find Brian Miller from the Village Voices review. He's rated as a top critic. The snippet review is, it's like a mashup of classic commercials of Ford pickup trucks. I kid you not.
That boggles my mind.
The one right above it, even better. And this is a positive review. Unstoppable delivers some of the best mindless entertainment of the year. So there you go. All right.
Wow.
Let's go into Morning Glory. Lots of reviews already. Lots of reviews. So many that they actually have a consensus. They're calling a consensus on it. Well, the movie got released today, so it's actually in theaters right now. It's got a 50% on the tomato, 58% on the tomato meter. Out of 86 reviews, 50 of them are positive. So the synopsis. Oh, this is long. I don't know if I'm going to read all this. Oh, what the hell?
I can sum it up pretty quick.
From director Roger Mitchell, producer J.J. Abrams, which I thought I saw the Bad Robot symbol fly by on that one. So yeah, J.J. Abrams is a producer on it. And writer Aileen Brosh McKenna, which she apparently wrote The Devil Wears Prada and 27 Dresses, comes Morning Glory. A new romantic comedy set in the hilarious and dysfunctional world of morning television. Rachel McAdams, Harrison Ford, and Diane Keaton star along with Patrick Wilson and Jeff Goldblum when hardworking TV producer Becky Fuller is fired from a local news program. Her career begins to look as bleak as her hapless love life. Stumbling into a job at Daybreak, the last place national morning news show, Becky decides to revitalize the show by bringing on legendary TV anchor Mike Pomeroy, Harrison Ford. Unfortunately, Pomeroy refuses to cover morning show staples like celebrity gossip, weather, fashion, and crafts, let alone work with his new co-host, Colleen Peck, which is Diane Keaton, a former beauty queen and longtime morning show personality, who is more than happy covering morning, quote-unquote, news. As Mike and Colleen clash, first behind the scenes, then on the air, Becky's blossoming love affair with fellow producer Adam Bennett, who is somebody else, begins to unravel, and soon Becky is struggling to save her relationship, her reputation, her job, and ultimately the show itself. That sounds exciting.
Mm. I bet your wife's very excited about
it. She is. She wants to see it. I probably don't. In fact, that's a definite. It actually sounds like one that might be amusing to watch as a streaming Netflix or catch it on cable one day. Because it doesn't sound like a bad movie. It's just not something I'm going to seek out. It's not really to my taste. And if they make Harrison Ford's character is as crotchety and grumpy as he looks in the commercials, that could be funny. Because he looks like he's a prick. And Harrison Ford is a prick. I can see that. And I think they could play really well. I mean, imagine Tom Brokaw working with Katie Couric. Like, not in a serious news platform. I think that could be hilarious. I think that sparks could fly.
I don't know. I have no expectations for this movie. It's not anything I have any. I don't think it's targeted towards me.
No.
I don't think I'm the target demographic at all. And I'm trying to keep my wife, who probably is the target demographic, from knowing about it. So.
Our wives should go see it together.
I will send her up on Saturday.
Very good.
I'll just send her by 7. She'll be there around noon.
Great. You know what? You come on by. We'll lock the kids in the playroom. We'll play some Xbox. The ladies can go game, or they can go to the movie. Everybody's happy.
You know, actually, if we're going to do that, we should have them go to the movie, have lunch, and do some shopping, and then we can get some serious gaming in.
That's even better.
All right. We'll talk more about this off air.
All right. Plans are being made. All right.
So how do we think these movies are going to do? I mean... I mean, I think Unstoppable is going to do well.
I think Unstoppable...
It's got Denzel.
Yeah.
Chris Pine. Rosario Dawson. Trailers look great. It's getting good reviews. I think it's going to do well.
I concur. I pretty confidently say that just looking at those three films... I would believe Unstoppable is going to beat Morning Glory, is going to beat Skyline. I think Skyline is the weakest of those three offerings.
Now I got a question.
Yeah.
So Morning Glory is open now.
Yes.
Does that roll into the weekend box office, or do they not count?
No.
Wednesday?
No. It does not count it.
It does not. And you know how I know that? Is because of the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I looked up the opening weekend, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles came out the Wednesday before Thanksgiving when it was released in theaters.
Ah.
And if you look at that weekend box office, it says that like it made $7 million, but by the time it made $7 million, it had made $10 million total. Because that didn't account for the Wednesday and Thursday. Because it was actually released Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. So the totals did not count. The weekend totals did not include Wednesday and Thursday. So I'm just assuming that that is still the practice going forward. I'm only going to count Friday through Sunday. I don't think it's going to make a terrible amount of difference, to be honest. I mean, because it was just the first 2 days, and I think where movies will get hurt by making that assumption is the movies that are going to get a real frenetic, like almost a cult. Like if there's a cult or a geek following behind it, where people just have to go see it opening night, and if it's a Wednesday opening, you're going to have just a buttload of people going to see it Wednesday, which will actually detract from the Friday, Saturday, Sunday numbers. I think that's where it could hurt it. Then again, typically, if you have that many people trying to go see a midnight movie on like a Wednesday night for one of those, they're probably going to see it Friday, Saturday, Sunday also. I mean, let's be honest. They're probably going to... By Sunday, they're probably going to see it at least 3 times. We all know those people. We may have been those people at some point.
Well, you were first this week, Tony.
I was first this week, so I guess the onus is on me. See, and what sucks is we have 3 new ones this week, and 3 new ones. Yeah. So that's a dicey proposition.
And we didn't mention the expansion of
Oh, my favorite
Andrew's
movie.
Favorite.
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
Fair game.
Fair game.
It says expansion, but it doesn't say wide.
It's going to be wide. It's going to be big. It opened up in 46 theaters last weekend.
Get out the lube. It's going wide.
It's going wide. It brought about 700,000 in 46 theaters. You know, it's a remake of the 90s film Fair Game with Cindy Crawford. Now it's starring Sean Penn and Naomi Watts. And for the last several weeks, I've been talking about how this thing's going to be huge. Perhaps sarcastically. But... I'm sticking with it. I'm still saying it's going to be huge, sarcastically.
That wins. I'm cool with that. All right. Let's see. Looking at the numbers, I'm torn now because I'm not confident about how well Skyline's going to do. And my lack of confidence in Skyline, I almost wonder, can For Colored Girls beat it? That's my dilemma at this point.
You know, is For Colored Girls going to pull a Red where it opens soft but then, you know, barely drops off week to week?
I don't think so. I think it's going to have at least a normal drop off. It didn't open in that many theaters, really. I mean, it was only 2,100 theaters. How many theaters are these movies opening in? Let's look at that for a second. Unstoppable 3,100, Skyline 2,600, Morning Glory 2,518, which seems really small, like oddly small for...
A lot of those times, those numbers are undershoot what it's actually going to be.
True, and that could be for the Wednesday release. I wonder if it maybe gets more screens on Friday when the Friday releases come around. That said, I'm going to go with my gut and say that number five, my gut says Skyline. I'm going to go with my gut, Skyline, number five. And here's where it all goes to hell. Let's say number four, Due Date. Number three, Morning Glory. Number two, Unstoppable. Number one, Megamind again.
That's ballsy, sir.
It is, and I think I'm wrong. You know what? I'm going to reverse those one and two.
Oh, no,
I'm not.
Come on.
No, I'm not. I'm going to stick with it.
We need a ruling. Which one's it going to be?
The ruling. Come on. I'm going to stay with my original. I'm going to stay with my original. So, number one, Megamind. Number two, Unstoppable. Number three, Morning Glory. Number four, Due Date. Number five, Skyline.
I'm actually kind of surprised you think Skyline's going to make it into the top five, to be honest. But anyway,
I'll give you my reasoning. My reasoning is,
yeah,
I think that the audience of For Colored Girls has seen it. I believe that the primary audience has seen it, and it's going to drop dramatically. That's where I could be wrong. I think it's going to have more than a 50% drop off. I believe Skyline's going to make more than 10 million.
Right.
If it's a 50% drop off for Colored Girls, if it's a 50% drop, and if Skyline makes more than 10 million, For Colored Girls is not in the top five. That's math. That's math, science.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of me explaining why I picked 4 and 5 last weekend and
failed.
You saw how well that worked out for me. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, failed hard. All right. Well, here's my picks. I think Megamind's going to continue to hold on to that one spot. I think Unstoppable's going to do well. I don't think it's going to do well enough to unseat Megamind out of the number one spot. I think a lot more. Unlike your theory about For Colored Girls, I don't think the audience for Megamind has gone out to see it completely. I think there's a lot more families who are going to go out to see it. Yep. It's going to drop off, of course, but I think it's still going to be fairly competitive, fairly large numbers. I think Unstoppable is going to be number 2. I think Due Date is going to be number 3. I think Morning Glories is going to be number 4. And then number 5. I'm split. I'm split number 5 between For Colored Girls, Skyline, and Fair Game.
Go Fair Game, man. Do it.
Come on.
I feel like I should, just because I spent so much time joking about how good it's going to be. I almost feel like I should commit to it.
Come on.
What's it going to cost me? 20%, but...
Wait. Before you do that, before you go there, keep in mind, looking ahead, Next Friday, the Harry Potter opening weekend, pan down just a little farther, expanding, fair game, additional expansion. It says it right there.
Yeah.
You might, oh, I'm just saying, you might want to hold off a week. It could give Harry Potter a run. It could give Harry Potter a run for its money. I mean, really.
You can't see Skyline.
Sequels never work. I don't sequels after the third or fourth one never work. And this is number 7. Who's going to go see that crap? Wait a week. Fair game number 1. You can do it.
Hey, if fair game is going to be number 1 next week, then it's got to be number 5 this week.
That's a good point. I'm going to go fair game number 5 just because
nice.
I think it's a good joke. And I've been singing its sarcastic phrases for weeks, so I think I got to put my money where my mouth is. So
nothing like honoring the memory of Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, no, there's that. I honor that memory on a semi-nightly basis.
That's fair.
So those are my 5. I think that we kick that along then to Jonathan.
Yeah, I have no moral dilemmas on my list.
So. Oh, he's solid.
I'm going.
Did you do research this week? No,
I didn't do research.
No, this is the week he didn't do research.
You did research. The week you did, you got 60%.
You guys did all my research in the earlier part of the show. So, I mean, you talked to me, and I just wrote that. So,
work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. Have a delegate.
that's a good point. Right.
So, number one, I'm going with the what should we say? The diversity program again. The idea that people like the new things and the audience for. So I'm thinking that Red is going to drop off, and Red's audience is going to be taken in by Unstoppable, which will make it number 1.
Hmm.
Megamind at number 2. Due Date at number 3. Morning Glory at number 4. And then I'm going to say For Colored Girls at number 5, just because I don't think Skyline looks terrible.
no matter how much gravitas you can
bring to the synopsis, Skyline just looks terrible. So, I mean, I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right.
I don't think I am.
I think you're absolutely right, but I think it can make. I think it can make 10 million.
The last time that I listened to you. Your, you know, quote unquote maths. It was Jackass, and that screwed me over. So,
yeah, but did you not hear the brilliance of my math last week?
You can take your maths. You can take your maths, and you can shove them up your 60%.
You see, but Tony, you're good at this bizarre, crazy math, not necessarily the simple math. You're good at this. We're gonna take these 3 movies and divide it by this movie. And that's the box office. You're not good at. It's going to drop by this much or that much. I mean,
yep.
I'm not good at either, obviously.
That's
true. I've
got
3-4 weeks to prove I have not done well with it. Well, you know, my wife has started listening to this program.
Right.
And she listened to it the first time on Friday. And she immediately, after listening to us go on, called us idiots and wrote out her own top 5 list.
So what was her top 5? How did she do? Do you have her list?
Let me,
if she's doing better than you... You get off the mic now and get her on.
All right, here. I've got it in front of me.
We could use some estrogen on these casts. I'm just saying.
I approve of this plan.
Looks like she pulled down 40%.
That's better than either of you two.
She pulled Megamind. She pulled down For Colored Girls. She got 1 and 3 right.
What did she pick for number 2?
She thought Saw 3D was not going to drop 60%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she was not expecting Due Date to do well.
She was wrong.
According to my notes. Well, hey, I can't point any fingers at...
No, you can't.
Can't point fingers.
No, you can't. Especially considering you're married to her, so...
And she'll probably listen to this now, so...
Love you, dear.
So, if any of you out there listening feel like throwing in your 5 cents because you think we're idiots, we would love to have your ideas and your top 5 list so that perhaps we can mock you.
Not only that, but yeah, if you've got some explanation behind your choices, telling us why we're wrong for the picks that we do have,
That's true. I would love some sort of advice on, you know, what to actually do, because listening to these two hasn't worked, and going completely against them hasn't worked either. So, you know.
Help Jonathan out. Send advice to Jonathan at backseatproducers.com.
All right. That's all I got. I got that and a handful of Mexican amoxicillin, and that is all I got.
Have fun with that there.
I plan it. I'll let you know how it works out next week. I'll still be on it. So,
hopefully.
Well, there is that. Hopefully, this will still be a three-person podcast next week.
I'll get an email Saturday from Tony saying, in the emergency room, throat swelled up, can't breathe, they're putting a tube in me.
I'll be ready on Wednesday. See you Wednesday.
I'll podcast from the hospital room. It'll be fine.
I'd do it.
I know you would do it. I do not doubt for a second you do both your shows from the hospital.
I'm dedicated. All right. Hardcore. Have a good week, guys.
All right. Thanks, man.
See ya.
You have a good one. Bye.